Blog Talk Radio.
And to bring back dividends for God, he buried it in the grounds.
Thank you, Brother Calvin, for that. Whitney Houston.
Set out to do that, you are a set out to do a good job and do that job so well.
Justice.
Dr. King.
Don't allow anybody to
and help welcome our honored, distinguished guest, Reverend Dr. Mr. Williams, members of the faculty of Barrett Junior High School, ladies and gentlemen.
In the sense of violence that's going on in our world, I've left a defense for ourselves because nobody is selfish. They want all the money for themselves and some for other people. One of the things that I look at, those people, they give them food stamps. They give them somewhere to stay. These are people decide they're going to leave their home and come to America to cover our community. The first America got a farm. And Dr. King said, we don't move to peace and love and understand what God got for us and what we got to deal with, what happened in our history. It's important to understand that we have to move from what's going on. Dr. King speaking about innocent people being killed right here in America, right now. 2024.
Freedom and me.
Yeah. Yeah.
about the philosophy of nonviolence, because in our struggle, this has been the unpurity of life. The struggle is nonviolence. It's the most potent weapon available to oppress people. And that has a way of disarming the opponent. It exposes his mind that women must have. At the same time, it works on his conscience, and he just doesn't know how to handle it. If it doesn't teach you wonderful, it doesn't quite encourage you to retaliate. If he doesn't put you in jail, wonderful. Nobody with any sense comes to go to jail. If he put you in jail, you go in there and transform it from a dungeon of shame to a haven of freedom and human dignity. You develop better conviction than something so dear, something so eternally true, something so precious. Not discovered something that he will die for. In a sense, he is not fit. Now, I say that power in this approach, precisely because it disarms the opponent, exposes our intent. It also says that it is possible to work for moral ends through moral means. One of the great and there have been always, there have been those who argued that the end justified the means. There have been nonviolence with great things in history that argues that the end justifies the means, recognizing that the end is pre-existing the means. The means represent the ideal in the making and the end in the process. And in the long run of history, along with this, it's a growing realization that it's not going to take a stand against an unequal system without developing hatred and bitterness of the perpetrator of that. When nonviolence is true in its most genuine respect, have to stop and explain what I mean when I talk about love and love and because people raise the question all the time. What do you mean when you say love those who are violently seeking to destroy us? And certainly when I talk about love and sentimental or even some affectionate emotion. I'm talking about something much be nonsense to other people to love their violent oppressors in an affectionate sense. For the Greek language, so three words in the Greek language for love, there's the word eros. Eros is part of great deal in his the guiding of the soul for the realm of the divine. They just turned out to be some romantic love. Going to Eros, we have read about it in all of the beauties of literature. We experienced Eros got a poem about Eros, about his beautiful Annabelle Lee with the love surrounded by the halo of eternity. With the remover to remove, it is an ever fixed mark that is ever shaped. You know, I can remember that because I used to quote it to my wife when we were quoting. That's Eros. Then the Greek language is another level of love. It's a kind of intimate affection between personal friends. On this then the Greek language comes out with another word. It's more than friendship.
notes and you will see that it is the love of God in the human heart. He is able to love the person who does the evil deed. He's able to love those persons that he even finds it difficult to like. He begins. He discovers that that individual who may be brutal toward him and who may be prejudiced, that pain is a part of his soul. Who taught him that way? Church taught him that way. At times his family taught him that way. The things do in chains of structure. Individual in front of prejudice. And this is the kind of understanding goodwill. The non-existent can come if he is true to the love ethic. And so he can rise to be able to look into the face of his moral counterpart and say in substance, due to his will, we will still. We will match your capacity to inflict suffering by our capacity to endure suffering. We will do what we hold for. Do to us what you will, and we will still love you. We cannot in all imagine obey your obligation to receive a tomorrow obligation as this cooperation with good. Don't do it, tell them don't do it. Don't do it, say y'all.
Y'all sing, sing.
Remembering Detroit, Reverend Charles A. Smith Jr., put your hands together.
Keep my hope for tomorrow.
to bring back dividends for God, he buried it in the ground, so to speak, of indifference. And he did not anticipate his tragic end, however, because the Lord of those talents came back at an unsuspected time. The danger of it all is that you are given the control and the management of this investment that God has made in you. And that you are left on your own. God doesn't stand around and punch you. That is, literally, he doesn't, to see what you're doing and how you're going to do. He merely lets you know that you are responsible for my investment.
Yes, yeah.
And that I'm holding you accountable.
Yes.
And that one day I will be back.
Yes.
And you must report to me.
Yes.
For everything that you've done.
Yes.
And how you have invested what I have given you.
Yes.
And I said the danger of it is you own your own. You're on your own. But you know, sometimes some people cannot stand to be on their own. Some people cannot stand responsibility. Some people cannot make good managers, it appears. Some folk are waiting for the first opportunity. As soon as the boss take his eye off them, they assert it. Hiding. Marking time. But that is dangerous. Because the boss of your life, the giver of your life, the investor that has invested in you, knows what you should do. And know what he has made you capable of doing. Pray with me if you please. You're talking about a time clock. He has put one within all of us. He knows when you punch in and when you punch out. He knows whether you are late or on time. Pray with me, there's no escape. And if you are lying down on the job, if you haven't punched in for the last year or so, if you haven't reported for duty for the last month or so, he know it tonight. You can't escape. He's made an investment in you. It is not left up to you to do what you want to do with it. You've got to one day account for the deeds done in your body. Why, I often say that when I look down on the casket and see those two little startling words, at rest, doesn't always mean that the person that's in there is at rest. It sometimes means the home that he came out of is at rest. Now that he's gone. Or now that she's gone. Sometimes it means that husband is at rest. Sometimes it means that wife is at rest. Now that they have laid you out. Are you praying with me? Sometimes it means that the church where he was a member is now at rest. Because they kept up so much confusion. Sometimes it means the neighbors or the people with whom they work are now at rest. Now that you're gone. So brothers and sisters, we should all remember that there is one who has an all-seeing eye.
Yes.
And who knows what investment he's made in us.
Yes.
He knows whether or not he left with us one talent, or whether or not he left with us two.
Yes.
He knows whether or not he's left with us five.
Yes.
You see what I'm talking about? And he knew exactly what our report should be.
Yes, yes.
That is, if it is a faithful report.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that all of us, and especially those of you who have wandered away,
yes,
and who seem to think because you're getting by that you've gotten away.
Yes.
Well, remember, you may be getting by, but that doesn't mean you have got away.
Yes.
Pray with me if you please. I've seen people who committed crime,
yes,
and have gotten by for several years.
Yes.
And one day when they feel safe, satisfied, and secure, why, the FBI walk up and tap them on the shoulder,
yes,
and tell them exactly who they are,
yes,
and what they've done and where they did it.
Yes.
There was a man who gotten by, but who didn't get away.
Yes.
And you talking about an FBI system. Why, my God has the best the world has ever known.
Yes.
He had all kinds of agents working for him.
Oh, yeah.
Sickness worked for him.
Yes.
And it's sometime one of his detectives.
Yes.
Oh, Lord. And sometime misfortune worked for him.
Yes.
And sometime trouble will arrest us for him.
Yes.
And I don't believe you know what I'm talking about. Why, sometime, why, experiences about our family life works on God's side.
Yeah.
You may feel because you're getting by, you've gotten away. Lord, if you're wasting your life and wasting your time, if you've forsaken God and like a prodigal, went away from home into the far country of pleasure and into the far country of revelry.
Uh-huh.
Remember, great God, if you don't mind out like Jonah, great God, you know Jonah thought he'd gotten by too, you know, and thought he'd gotten away too. Oh, Lord, but the Lord called his detective to win. And then call another one of his officers, the clouds, and spoke to another one of his agents to see, and made that old sea boil like a potter, and made the wind roll themselves into a hurricane.